certainly appreciate the prayer that Brother Randall offered up on our behalf this morning, and would ask that you continue to pray that God would bless us and be with us, and that he would strengthen us as we go down through life's journey. That song has a lot to say about what's on my mind this morning. And you know, oftentimes life is so hard. We lose those that we love, leaves an empty hole in our heart. Sometimes it's a struggle to go on from day to day and from time to time. We have numerous trials in life. We come discouraged about numerous things. And you know, when you look around and see so many in the church, when I first came to the Lubbock Church in 1997, not long after I had went through one of the most difficult times in my life, I was encouraged by Brother George and many of you here in the church. And I think sometimes we get caught up in life with all the stress, with all the problems, with all the difficulties. And sometimes it's hard to sit down and count your blessings. There's not a day, I believe, upon the earth that we live that we shouldn't be thankful. But sometimes the trials and the afflictions that we go through lead us to a point that maybe we do not give God the thanks that we ought to give him. The Bible's going to teach us, and if the Lord would help us this morning, I believe the Bible teaches us that every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day we ought to be thankful for something. Regardless of how difficult the day may be, how hard your life may be, no matter what circumstances you're facing, God tells me, the Bible teaches me, that we have no right but to be thankful. That's why the words of that song are so important. We are blessed in the worst of our days, in the worst of our emotional times, no matter what's going on in our life. We're blessed people. Matter of fact, it's just beyond what we can comprehend and how blessed that we are. This coming Thursday, being the fourth Thursday in November, we all know that's a day it's been set aside for 100 and some odd years, by probably 140 years nearly, or 50, as the day of thanksgiving. But I have no doubt the Bible teaches us every day is a day of thanksgiving. I want to look at that and in some respect being thankful and what the Word of God says about it. But I want to read a little bit of history, if you'd allow me to, this morning, that about this day called Thanksgiving. And I want you to think about how it's evolved. You know, I don't believe in evolution as far as man came from a monkey and an ape and all that kind of thing, but times change. People evolve. Their way of thinking changes. Is Thanksgiving Day today, is it what it was 200 years ago, 300 years ago? Actually, Thanksgiving, the days of Thanksgiving and prayer existed before the United States was ever a country. We're going to find that most of the time, the days of Thanksgiving and prayer and days of fasting and prayer were days called on by the church. You know, I'm not sure we don't need a day of fasting and prayer in the church today. But I tell you, there was times throughout God's Word that's spoken of. Now, fasting is something that we know is in the Word of God. It's in the New Testament, but it's not spoke about much. I don't believe it's practiced very much. But Jesus said, he didn't say, if you fast, he said, when you fast. So Jesus presumed as his children in the Sermon on the Mount that we would be a people who fast. Days of fasting and prayer and days of thanksgiving and prayer. A lot of times in those days back that were days of fasting and prayer was when there was some great difficulty in the land. Actually, we got a great difficulty in the land today. But they would have floods or droughts and famine or plagues. We know that even in this country there's been some diseases that were pretty enormous, polio, tuberculosis, and things that they did get cured, but it was those certain times that the churches a lot of times would call upon the church, the congregation of God's people, to pray and to fast. Then there were times that God would deliver his people out of the hand of the enemy, or that God would bless them with a really good crop. And a lot of times that's where we find Thanksgiving today, is after God has blessed us with a good crop, we have a day of Thanksgiving, thanking God and praising God for all his abundance given to us. You know, it takes food to eat and water to drink and clothes upon our back. And I mean, we just have so much to be thankful for that sometimes I think we don't realize how thankful that we ought to be. I want to read a little bit about how this began, and I think it's just how Thanksgiving was perceived in the day of George Washington, and prior to that might be far different than what it's perceived to be today. Today we have a national holiday. People get off of work. They go home, and the number one thing I think that overtakes Thanksgiving is eating. I mean, we all look forward to eating as much as we can and eating the best food that's available, and it's a blessing to do that. And I believe even in the harvest, when they had the harvest Thanksgiving, they ate, don't get me wrong. But this is, I believe today, between football and between the beginning of the holidays, as they call it, right prior to this so-called Black Friday day that I don't care a whole lot for. I certainly don't go out and participate in it, but there's too many people out there. But what is Thanksgiving today? Let's read a little bit about how it was then. It says, the Pilgrims and the Puritans who immigrated from England in the 1620 and 1630s carried the traditions of the days of fasting and the days of Thanksgiving with them to New England. So this was something that was going on prior to their arrival here in what Columbus called the New World. It was a new beginning for them. It says, the modern Thanksgiving holiday tradition is traced to a well-recorded 1619 event in Virginia and a sparsely documented 1621 celebration at Plymouth in the present-day Massachusetts. In the 1619 arrival of the 38 English settlers in Berkeley Hundred in Charles City County, Virginia, concluded with a religious celebration as dictated by the group's charter from the London Company, which specifically required that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. Now, I believe Thanksgiving is something that should be on our minds every day, and I believe the Bible teaches that. But this Thursday, have we set aside this day for thanksgiving and prayer to Almighty God, or has it turned into something else? I'll let you be the judge of that. You know, things evolve over time. Sometimes things that were intended to be good for the Lord's people are taken into the hands of men, and they change subtly over hundreds of years. Like I said, most of these days of fasting and thanksgiving were set aside by the church, not by secular government, as it is today. Today it's basically a holiday where folks can rest from work and do whatever it is everybody else is doing. But I question, are we really taking it into our hearts to give God the thanks and the adoration and the praise that we ought to? I don't think there's anything against having a good meal, but have we got caught up in the way of today? Is it far from the way of old? It goes on and it says, the 1621 Plymouth Feast and Thanksgiving was prompted by a good harvest. Several days of Thanksgiving were held in early New England history that have been identified as the first Thanksgiving, including pilgrim holidays in Plymouth in 1621 and 1623, and a Puritan holiday in Boston in 1631. According to historian Jeremy Bangs, director of the Leiden American Pilgrim Museum, the pilgrims may have been influenced by watching the annual services of Thanksgiving for the relief of the siege of Leiden in 1574, while they were staying in Leiden, now called October Feasting. Leiden Autumn Thanksgiving Celebration in 1617 was an occasion for the sectarian disturbance that appears to have accelerated the pilgrims' plans to immigrate to America. As we all know, the majority of folks that took on the idea of coming to America were fleeing religious persecution. You and I have never fled religious persecution. Matter of fact, we can read about it, we can think about it, but we don't have any clue what it really is. I mean, if you haven't lived it and you haven't walked it, it's like most anything else in life. If you hadn't walked in those shoes, don't tell me what you would or wouldn't do because you really don't know. You have an opinion, but that's all it is an opinion. Until the day comes that you actually walk in the shoes and go through the events that somebody else has went through, there's things you'll never understand about it. We've never fled religious persecution. I hadn't. Now, we may one day. That day may be coming around, but that's what was happening to most of the folks that came to America. They were fleeing religious persecution, the persecution of the church of the state, you might say. They had religion in England, but anyway, we go on, and it says, later in Massachusetts, religious Thanksgiving services were declared by civil leaders such as Governor Bradford, who planned the colony's Thanksgiving celebration and fast in 1623. The practice of holding an annual festival did not become a regular affair in New England until the late 1660s. Now, that's before we had our independence here in America. Thanksgiving proclamations were made mostly by church leaders in New England up until 1682. It wasn't done by the government. It wasn't a day that everybody could take off of work, and that's what it's become, and it's become a secular holiday. It's become a commercialized holiday, and I think a lot of times if we really are true to ourselves and consider it, maybe we've lost what it really means and how we ought to participate on Thanksgiving Day. Are we honestly taking enough time to thank God? I question myself on that, and I just think it's something that we need to think about. I think the Bible teaches us that no matter how rough your life may be, how dissatisfied you may be, how unhappy you may be, how many trials you may have faced, there's never a day in your life that you ought not to be thankful. But sometimes when those difficulties come, maybe we fail. I know I have failed to give God thanks. You know, I thought about the time that I went through my great trial some nearly 22 years ago. I thought about Sister Paula and the trial she went through. But have you ever thought about how blessed and how thankful you are to have the time you had? Better to have that than not to have any, would it be not? You know, there's always something to be thankful for. Always. No matter how bad it is, we ought to be a people full of thanksgiving in our hearts unto a God who's been so good to us. Unto a God who loves us with an everlasting love. Unto a God who's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. I tell you, God's mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. How thankful we ought to be. It says, during the Revolutionary period, political influences affected the issuance of Thanksgiving proclamations. Various proclamations were made by royal governors, John Hancock, General George Washington, and the Continental Congress, each giving thanks to God for events favorable to their causes. Can you imagine our government today giving thanks unto God for favorable events? Most of them would consider a favorable event anything that God had anything to do with. Many of them wouldn't today. You know, if you read history in this country, you see a far different perception of God in the early days of our country than you see today. And we see a far different perception of Thanksgiving today, I believe, than these men seen. It goes on and it says, as President of the United States, George Washington proclaimed the first nationwide Thanksgiving celebration in America, making November 26, 1789, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. To be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts and the many signal favors. In other words, favors that were recognizable in your life to Almighty God. Now, I'm going to tell you, these men, they sought the Lord. They knew without the Lord they could do nothing. And they were very thankful. And I have nothing against having a day set aside for Thanksgiving. But I just want to know, are we really as thankful of people as we ought to be? Do we thank God? You know, God commands us to be thankful. We ought not to have to be told and commanded to be thankful. We ought to have the gratefulness come pouring out of our hearts for the goodness that God showered upon us all the days of our lives. He blessed us to live in a country that's full of freedom. He's blessed us to have children and to have a time together in his house without persecution or molestation or fear of dying, as many of God's people have in the past. Oh, we've got so much to be thankful for. I don't care how bad your day may be or how much trouble you may be having in your life. We have so much to be thankful for. He says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Paul says that we're to be thankful. He didn't say, if you want to, if you consider it, be thankful. He said, be thankful. But you know, I think it's hard to be thankful if peace of God doesn't rule in your heart. Because Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. Job said, a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. We know what's happened today is not something that God stands amazed at and surprised at. The troubles that you deal with today, the burdens that you're bearing, the trials that you face, they're no surprise unto Almighty God. They shouldn't be a surprise unto us if we study His Word. In the world we shall have tribulations. If the peace of God is not ruling in your heart, it'll be hard for you to go from day to day and give God the gratitude and the thanks I believe that He rightly deserves. He deserves it every day. Verse 17 says, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In everything that we do, in all our deeds and all our words, we're to give thanks unto God. You know, a lot of that ability to give thanks goes along with our attitude. You know, do we look at the cup as being half empty or half full? Do we believe if something bad could happen, it's after going to? Or do we have hope all the time? I believe we ought to have hope. You know, when you look at who we are and where we came from, we ought to give God thanks every day. It says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish and the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God took dust and he made a man. And he took from the man a rib and made the woman. We were nothing. He put his spirit within us. He put his spirit within us. And he gave us the promise of eternal life. Can you imagine anything to be more thankful about in your life? You wasn't even a thought. You was a nothing. And God brought you forth into this world, put His Spirit within you, and He promised that one day you would live with Him. And whatever trouble you go through and whatever difficulty you may be having, they won't exist in heaven's pure world. They will not exist. They won't be there. You won't cry. You won't have any more tears. And that's what helps us to get through the journey of this life. He breathed life into the nostrils of this man, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He put his spirit within him and gave him the promise in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Titus 1 and 2. I tell you, if we have nothing else in this world to be thankful for, we have that. But as God's children, we have something far greater than that, I believe. We won't have enough time today to talk about all the things that we should be thankful for. But I tell you, there's something I believe that we can consider to be tremendous in our lives that not every living being has in this world. We're told over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, the Lord said, don't put all your hope in all the things that you can see with your eyes. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We hope in the things that we see, and we become so disappointed. They don't come to pass. They don't fulfill our lives as we wanted. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Friends, the child of God has a hope in him that other folks in this world don't have. Did you know that? He has something within him that keeps him going from day to day, regardless of the troubles and the trials that he faces. There's something within the child of God that helps him keep on keeping on. It's hope. We're saved by hope from the distress of this life, day in and day out. Notice what the apostle says in Hebrews chapter 6 concerning this hope, something that we ought to be extremely, extremely thankful for. In verse 18, it says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, we might have strong comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul. I tell you, we lose loved ones. We go through trials. We have bad relations sometimes. We just have trials of every circumstance and every condition you can think of while we live upon this earth. But I tell you, there is something that keeps you and I going that we ought to be thanking God for every day when we go to Him in prayer. It's that hope that we have that anchors our soul. He says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You know, there's many things that we love in this world, but we can't count on them. But there's a God in heaven who saved us by His Son's redemptive blood. And friends, we have a hope that'll carry us until the day that we die. It's something that the average person, those who are not God's elect, do not have and will never have. It doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the difficulties that we bear in life. But it gives us a hope to continue, to keep on keeping on in life. It is the anchor of our soul. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 4, excuse me. Beginning in verse 16. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Friends, we're told in Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If that isn't something to be thankful for every day, at the end of the day, if you've had a bad day, if you've had a tough day, you can go to the Lord and say, I'm thankful, Lord, that one day I will awaken in your presence. And these things that trouble me as they have today, these difficulties of losing loved ones as we've all went through, will never exist anymore. We die a natural death, but death has no power over us. This is something that is an anchor of our soul. It is a hope that keeps us going from day to day, regardless of the circumstances that surround you in life, regardless of whether you're the happiest person that ever walked. You have much to be thankful for. You have a family to be thankful for. You have grandchildren to be thankful for, grandparents to be thankful for. You have a job. You may not like the job, but are you thankful that you have one? There may be things that you don't like about it, but you ought to be thankful you even have one. There are folks in the world that don't have a job and can't get a job. I tell you, we ought to be thankful for everything that God has blessed us to have in our life. He goes on and he says, even though our outward man perish, you know, this old body, it gets older. We're witnessing that here today among God's people. Through the years that I've been here, every day passes, we get a little bit older. The body begins to fail. It perishes. The Bible says it does, and that's what happens. We can't kid ourselves. We get older, the body wears out. But do you know that I have watched older folks all my life? And I'll tell you that what's dwelling within the child of God gets stronger the older they get. The more they want to go home and be with the Lord, the more they look unto glory, the more that they don't see these things that perish, that they can see with their eyes. You know, it may be a physical perishing, like our body failing. It may be a mental perishing. But day by day, our inward man is renewed. It is strengthened. It is that hope that anchors our soul. It is what keeps us going when life is tough. I'm going to tell you, that's something to be thankful for every day that you live. If you don't have anything else to be thankful for, thank God for the eternal life that dwells within you, because that will get you to the last breath that you take in this life, because you know that one day you're going to be in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're never going to suffer another tear to fall. You're never going to have another sleepless night. I'm going to tell you, that's what keeps us going. That is the hope, and that is something that we can forever be thankful for, regardless of what the day holds. We all have troubles. We've all went through very difficult times. I know, and I know you have, and I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. But I am so thankful that we have an anchor in our soul, being the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, that keeps us going on, keeps us coming to the house of the Lord to worship His mighty name, to glorify Him and to give Him thanks. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I tell you, so many folks that are going through trials and difficulties have a hard time saying this light affliction. But the Apostle Paul also said in Romans 8 and 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can you imagine when you open your eyes in the presence of Jesus? Can you imagine what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace? Can you imagine it? You know, there's a song, I Can Only Imagine. I don't know the lyrics to it, but that's about all we can do at the present time. But that day's coming. It's something to be thankful for, because I know everyone in here, regardless of how you're feeling about the circumstances of this day or your family or your life, you hold to that hope that anchors your soul. You've got something to be thankful for, because you know one day, as David said when his son died that was born to Bathsheba, he said, he'll not come back to me, but I'll go where he's at. That's where we're going to go. One day we're going to go there, and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I tell you, if there's not anything else in our lives to be thankful for, that's something to be thankful for every day that we live. To wake up every morning, I say, I thank you, O Lord, that I have eternal life dwelling in me. I have a hope that'll get me from today to the end of my way, whenever that is. He says, for this light affliction, which is but for a moment, compared to eternity, whatever you're going through is nothing but a moment. Just like a second in time compared to a place where time doesn't exist. It says, for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. I tell you, I see this in the older folks. The older they get, the longer they live on this earth, the less they focus upon the things of this earth. Have you ever noticed that what was desirable at 20 is not desirable at 60, not desirable at 80? Because our focus is taken off of this world. Our focus is upon that eternal world. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Aren't you thankful for that hope that anchors your soul? We have something to be thankful for every day, if nothing else. Our health may not be what it wants. We may feel alone in this world. We may feel destitute in this world. But you know, we have a Savior that said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. You may forsake the Lord. You may turn away from Him. Your thoughts may be up on yourself or up on the things of this world. But Jesus ain't going to leave. He's always going to be there. He's faithful. His faith didn't waver. He was faithful unto death. He died for you and I. He died for the sins that condemned us, that should have sent us to the eternal wrath and punishment of God. He was faithful. And I hope one day that we can say, we were faithful. We finished the course that He gave us. We done the best that we could. That's what we need to do, because our course is not very long. Doesn't last very long. We got much to be thankful for. When we think about Thanksgiving, I think where Thanksgiving really begins and starts every day is in prayer. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. First of all, he said, no matter what your problem is in this life, it's worthy to bring to the throne of grace. Pray to the Lord about it. Doesn't mean you'll get every answer that you want, but pray to the Lord about your situation, your circumstances. But don't leave out thanking Him for His past mercies. I tell you, I know folks that God has been merciful to in the past. He's being merciful to in the present, and He's promised to continue to be merciful. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth all generations. We're to pray for others. We're to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he was beaten with stripes. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. And on top of that, he had the cares of the churches. I mean, take a little time and think about this man who was opposed to Christianity. And God struck him down on the road to Damascus. And he said, I'll show thee what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. Paul suffered in a way that you and I have never suffered. And yet he continuously gave thanks unto Almighty God. He says in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 1, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We need to pray for one another at all times. We need to be thankful unto God for each other, for him giving each of us the desire to come together as a congregation, to love one another, to hug one another's necks, to have joy with one another, to mourn with one another. There's a purpose in the congregation of the Lord's people. We're to help one another. We don't just come here for a minute and leave. We're to be a help one to the other. We're to lift one another up, encourage one another, pray for one another. We also know that when we thank God in the manner that we should thank him, in the way that we should thank him, it brings glory to his name. Notice in 2 Corinthians, back over in the 4th chapter in the 15th verse, it says, for all things are for your sake, that the abundance of grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Can you imagine that if you were thanking God, we as a congregation and across this country, for the abundant grace that God has showered upon us all the days of our life, that brings glory to the Lord? That glorifies God by our thanksgiving. We need to remember that. Then we find thanksgiving by the way of sacrifice. We're told in the 15th verse of Hebrews 13, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Can you imagine the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and I? He walked a road that you and I could never walk. We couldn't go down that road. We couldn't save ourselves from our own sins. We couldn't redeem ourselves. He was faithful unto that cause. But he's called upon you and I to be a living sacrifice. Can you think of an easier way to make a living sacrifice unto the God that you serve than by giving him thanks continuously? We're to be careful for nothing but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a sacrifice according to this verse. And you know that's not a hard sacrifice, is it? Some things are harder to give up than others, but I believe that if we're just consciously aware when we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to make sure that we have thanksgiving unto God for his mercy, for all his goodness to us, for the hope that dwells in us, the anchor of our soul, that we can continue on through life regardless of the circumstances. It is. Think about a verse over in the 116th Psalms, I believe it is. 17th verse, the psalmist says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You know, it's hard to believe that just offering thanksgiving unto the Lord every day is a sacrifice. From my perspective, it's a very easy sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of one who's called to be a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they killed those sacrifices. They sprinkled the blood upon the altar. But Paul said in Romans chapter 12 that we were called to be living sacrifices, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Nothing unreasonable about it. Are you thankful? We ought to be thankful. You know, when we go to one other deal, when it talks about sacrifice, you remember the story of Jonah when he disobeyed God and he decided he wasn't going to do what the Lord told him to do. Have we ever been that way? Have you ever been that way in your life? You know, sometimes when God does not chastise us immediately, we don't believe anything's going to happen, just like our children don't believe they're going to get chastened. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart and the sons of men is setting them to do evil. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Isn't that amazing how we are by nature? That's how we are. Jonah wasn't going to do what the Lord told him to do. He decided he'd go his own way and do his own thing. Well, the Lord prepared a great fish, did he not? And that great fish swallowed up Jonah. In verse 9 of chapter 2, Jonah had a new idea, new thought about these things. He said, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray, I will pay that that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Here's a time of judgment when we were disobedient unto the Lord. I think a lot of people don't believe God will judge them for their disobedience. But the Lord says, for whom he loveth, if you're not judged and you don't come under the chastening rod of the Lord, then you don't belong to him. Bible is plain and clear about that. The Lord loveth, chasteneth whom he loveth. It says, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. You know, Jonah just decided he didn't like what the Lord told him to do. He wasn't going to have none of it. But when the Lord got through with him, he said, "I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." I bet you old Jonah was shouting. He's probably wanting out of that fish, but he was shouting with thanksgiving unto the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy, which endureth forever. Are you thankful for God's choice? Are you thankful that God chose you? You know, you didn't choose to be God's child. He chose you. And there's a verse over in Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul said, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth." I tell you, every morning that you get up, you can thank God that he chose you. That he chose you out of the great populations of the earth to be one of his children. It was God's choice that's going to get you to heaven. You got something to be thankful about every day. We also know that it is God's will, and I'll close with this verse, that you be thankful. Thanksgiving comes Thursday, but notice what this says in verse 18. In everything give thanks. That doesn't mean that you thank somebody if somebody was killed. What it means, in every circumstance, in every situation in life, no matter what you're going through, you give thanks unto God for his endless mercy to you, for his graciousness unto you, for the air that you breathe, the water you drink, the clothes upon your back, always something to be thankful for. But I believe the hope of eternal life which dwells in us is one of the greatest blessings and something that we should thank God for every day. You know, we can't make lists long enough and have prayer long enough to give God thanks for everything that we owe him. But I tell you, we can give him thanks for many things every time we enter into prayer. You know, we have Thanksgiving this Thursday, but I hope each of us understand that every day is a day of Thanksgiving. There's not a day, regardless of how tough the day was, how bad it went at work, if you had an argument, things didn't work out the way you liked it, there's not a day that you don't have something to be thankful for. You have a hope within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the anchor of your soul that'll get you through that day, and it'll get you through the next day and the next day until finally the Lord calls you home and there'll be no more. No more of these troubles and no more of these difficulties. But until that day, let's glorify God by giving him the thanks that he rightly deserves every day, not just on Thanksgiving Day each year. And maybe this Thanksgiving we take a little more time to meditate for a little bit and thank God for the goodness of the past year in our lives. Been a lot of things changed. In some years, there's a lot to reflect upon, but God is still giving you a hope. As David said, if you're lonely, if you're sad, if you're coming to the end of your way, it's like David said, they won't come back to us, but it ain't going to be long till we go to them. And that's something to me that gives me a great hope and something to be thankful for every day that we live. May God bless you is my prayer this morning.